Y'all be ready to sing at the end of this service. Where's Samantha at? She's way back here in the back. You going to tell her or am I going to tell her? I'll tell her. I got it. Samantha, be prepared at the end of the service. Y'all are singing. End of the service. That's the way you get things done around here, isn't it? Huh? Good to be in the house of the Lord. I'm glad to see everybody. Patriotic theme going on, and we are appreciative of our veterans and what they've done for us to give us this freedom. I was sitting there, and I was listening to Mark and announcements, and you know, we're doubling up to missionaries for Christmas. Amen. We're doing Thanksgiving baskets for the needy. Amen. We're doing Christmas gifts for the children and families. Amen. And, you know, I was sitting there thinking, you know, said we're giving, 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 giving. And let me tell you something. We hadn't even come close to giving what God has given us. Not even close. And I thought about what a blessing it was to be part of a church that wants to give, that wants to help, that wants to make a difference. You know, I guarantee you, there's some of these folks that's going to get the missionaries. They'll go to rejoicing here just in a few days. They done got them checks, I bet, and are their own way. You know, we forgot to tell you all to give extra, so we just sent it on. You can make it up later. But some of the missionaries sitting there, and they're opening up their envelopes, and they've got a double offering. Think about getting twice what you expected. Isn't that a good thought? Huh? You know, I'd love to be there for part of them. They open those envelopes up and think, wow, you know, they've doubled up for us. You know, we got some extra money. Do y'all like extra money? I do every now and then. You know, it's a, Melvin said his wife did, and I'm not getting in that argument. Oh, me. Oh, me. I'm glad y'all don't sit together. There'd be a fight taking place. You know, but anyway, I thought about that, and then the thanks basket and give it is a really good work, you know, of God. And a lot of the families that we're going to deliver these to, I tell you what, it's hard for me to sit and eat a big turkey and know my neighbors are hungry. I got a problem with that, you know. And if we know they're in need and we're sitting feasting out Thanksgiving Day, I just have a little problem with that. So I'm thankful we got a group getting these baskets together. That's a lot of work. It's expense, but like I said, God's blessed us. And then the Christmas thing. We delivered more last year. Every year since we started, we've increased. If you hadn't been part of this church, this is about supplying Christmas for kids and families that wouldn't have anything unless we did it. And every year it's increased. I was asked a little bit earlier today, said, do you think we'll have the money? I don't have any doubt we'll have the money. I don't have not a doubt. And it increases every year. And if we don't have enough money the first time, we'll send the collection plates back till we do have enough money. You know, that's the way you handle that, because it's a needy, a very great need. And a lot of people depend on that. So all this giving, and I thought how blessed we are to be part of a church that really makes a difference. You think about that. I know there's a lot bigger churches, and you might say, well, they do this, they do that, but if you get it in comparison and think about it, we make a difference in what we do and what we give in a community. I think we make a difference in families, and I'm so thankful and blessed to be part of a church that makes a difference. Now, if we're going to continue making a difference, I want you to think about this. If we're going to continue making a difference, the reason why we make a difference is because we're made up of a group of people that make a difference. And I want to get this down to individuals about making a difference. You know, I've had people to ask me about my ministry, and they said, what do you hope to gain from this? And I usually I'm very quick to tell them that the day I kneel before the Lord is to hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Boy, that's what I'm after. And then one of the other things I told somebody, I said, well, when this is over for me, I just hope somewhere along the way I've made a difference. And so I want to talk about making a difference, you know, in somewhere, some way that we as individuals make a difference. I want to use some scripture today of a man that really, really made a difference. I want to talk about David and Goliath. Now, sometimes the enemies we face and the obstacles we have in life sometimes seem hard to overcome, but I want you to understand that with the help of God, nothing's too great. Nothing's too powerful. Nothing that we can't overcome or we can't accomplish with the help of God. And so let's talk about making a difference. I want everybody's mentality when they leave here today, they walk out and say, our church makes a difference. I'm part of this church and I want to make a difference. I want to try to make a difference in somebody's life. It can be in family. It could be at work. It could be at school. It could be anywhere it might be. There's such a great opportunity this day and time for we as the children of God to make a difference somewhere along the way. What an opportunity we've got. Wonderful time, opportunity. Let's look at Scripture just for a few minutes in 1 Samuel chapter 17, and we'll talk about this as we go through just a little bit, but this always excites me. I love it when the underdog wins, don't y'all? When the little man makes a difference. That's, you know, that excites me because I consider myself kind of a little person and not very mighty, not very strong, but I know by God's help that we can be victorious, we can be winners, and I'm thankful that we have a God that strengthens us in all these activities that we have. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 1, now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Shiloh, which belonged to Judah, and pitched between Shiloh and Azekah and Esdaim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set to battle in array against the Philistines. So we get the situation coming up that the Philistine army's here and the army of Israel's there, and they understand and know that there's going to be a battle take place. They know who their enemy is. Now, one thing I'd like to preach this day and time is that we know our enemy. We know what's against us. I'm telling you, if it's contrary to the Word of God, it's enemy. If it goes what God teaches and what we're taught from His Word, then that's enemy. So they didn't have any problem recognizing the enemy because they were Philistines and they were from Israel. So today it gets kind of confusing for us to know what is our enemy and what's not our enemy. So if it's contrary to the Word of God, if it's any way, in any form, then that's our enemy. So we need to understand the enemy that we fight. You can't battle and win a battle against an enemy you don't know. So we need to know and we need to understand. In verse 3, and the Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. So here was a separation and a space. I want you to notice this army wasn't going over and conferring and talking with the other army. I think that's a problem that we have in this day and time, that some of us don't know where the valley's at and don't know which side we're on. We need to understand if we're God's children, we're to be on God's side in God's army, not the world. So if we're going through that situation, you know, we need to understand that there's a separation God puts between enemies. And we need to be separated. Compromise is a bad thing in Christian life. Everybody say amen. I mean, that'll get you about as quick as anything. You'll think, well, I'll compromise just a little bit. It won't matter. It does matter. We don't want to compromise when it comes to the Word of God, when we come to being God's children and obedient to Him. We don't want to compromise. In fact, I'm telling you, Israel didn't go over and compromise with the Philistine. It was a war, and it was a battle going to take place. Now, we read through, and we find out about the champion of the Philistines, and we get into this, and we talk about Goliath, and it gives a description of him. And I'm telling you, I'd hate to have to face a man like this. The description, you read it, how tall he was, how big he was, about the armor he had on and about his spear that he carried and the sword that he had. And I thought, what person in their right mind would want to face this giant, this enemy? And then I got thinking, whoa, wait a minute. As Christians, we fight giants every day. There's giants in everybody's life. When we read through this and come with the understanding that God's going to send forth a champion. You know, today, I'd like some of us to go out of here as a champion because we're not afraid or not have fear in fighting the enemy and facing them head on, no matter how big they look. You read this about Goliath, I'm telling you, it scared the army of Israel.
Now you think about that. Put fear in them. They'd look over. He'd come out and challenge. Every day, walk down the same way. Walk right down in the valley. And he said, send somebody over to fight with me. They didn't have anybody willing to go. Now here's where the point comes in about David. God had prepared David. And God was going to prepare him to meet this enemy. And this Philistine drew near morning and evening, presenting himself 40 days. Had been going on 40 days. And I get to thinking about the separation between the armies and the army of Israel over here. For 40 days they've been listening to this, but yet had not come to any conclusion about what to do. Nobody wanted to face the giant. Nobody wanted to go against Goliath. Nobody thought they had a chance. And then we come down to the point that one person makes a difference. I want to preach to you this morning that you as a single person can make a difference. Now you're thinking about, well, I'm not wanting to go fight a giant. There's giants all through life. I guarantee we've all faced them, whether it's been through sickness or health or family matters or whatever it might be, accidents. There's been giants in life that we had to face and confront. Down in verse 20, 1 Samuel 17, verse 20, and David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went and as Jesse had commanded him and came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. For the Israel and the Philistine had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brother. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistine, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. Now I'm telling you, this army of Israel been hearing this for 40 days. All of a sudden things got different when God's man came in and he heard this challenge go out from this giant. He heard it. It said he heard it. And he spoke the same words every day, morning and evening, time after time after time. And all of a sudden, when David heard them, I'm telling you, he decided something needs done about this. Now, Don was talking about this morning the opportunity that we have right now in this nation as God's children to make a difference. It's time we stepped up and say, I've heard that for 40 days or 40 years or whatever it might be, and it's time something changed around here. In verse 20, and David spoke to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? I like David's attitude. He said, who does he think he is? You ever thought about that? David just said, who does he think he is that he can defy the armies of the living God? Now, that's the attitude we need to get as Christians today and think, who is this world that can defy the armies of the living God, talking about us as Christians, children of God, in the army of God? David had enough. He said, who does he think he is? Let me tell you what. Who do they think they are that they can come dictate to us how we're going to do and what we're going to do and what we're going to say and what we're going to preach from our pulpit? It's time to stand up and ask the question, and just who do they think they are? We've got God on our side. David, if you read his description, he's just a youth instead of ruddy youth. I guess that means kind of skinny. We laughed yesterday. Me and John was watching one of the football games. I don't remember which one it was. The team is playing Clemson. We turned over by it. And they run their kicker. The other team run their kicker out on the field. And that's the littlest pencil neck you ever saw in your life. Did y'all see him? Anybody see him? You know, he's out there with all these big, and he comes out and his neck about that big around, little old bitty skinny arms. And John went to rooting for him. I said, don't do that. She said, I know it's a... Mississippi State's kicker playing against Alabama. Little bitty dude, arms about that big around. Little bitty skinny neck. She said, I hope he makes it. I said, Joan, wait a minute. And I kind of thought about that this morning when I was reading about David being a ruddy youth. I thought, he probably looked like that kicker they run out there on the field yesterday, you know, little old skinny dude. And they looked at him, and I'm going to tell you, though, looks are deceiving. That little old kicker made that field goal. And I'm going to tell you, David's going to do more than that. Regardless of the way he looked, regardless of what we think or what we think he ought to be. I'm telling you, with the help of God, everybody can be successful. And verse 38, and Saul armed David with his armor and put a helmet of brass on his head and armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon the armor and essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off. Now, Saul had a good plan. Saul had a good idea about putting his armor on David. Well, I'm going to tell you, David had better armor than that already. It was the protecting hand of God. You know how much we want to protect our children, how much we want to encourage them to be saved. I'm telling you, the greatest thing we have is prayer. It's prayer. You know, that's the best thing we can do, pray for them, that we'll surround them with the hand of God and it'll take care of them. And that's where David's at. He said, I hadn't proved this armor. I'm sure he didn't want to hurt Saul's feelings. He said, I'm not going to need this. God's hand is on me. And so when we start talking about protecting children, the best thing you can do is be praying for those children every day, every night, every morning, every time you think, pray for the children. Now you want to protect it, pray for them. God can do a lot more than we can as mom and dads. This battle continues. David goes out to meet the champion of the Philistines. Looks like a mismatch. You know, look at it. You think this is a mismatch. No way. It just can't happen. David had chosen 5 stones. Somebody said, well, he wasn't going to use but one. What's the other 4 about? He is going to have more battles. I guarantee you, it's just like you. If you get to putting ammunition in your pocket, get some for a little later down the road, because this war and this battle is not over in this lifetime until the Lord comes back. So David goes down and he faces a champion. Now, I want to illustrate the courage it took, and he had that courage because of God. He had already been in situations in life where God had helped him through them. He'd already faced a lion. He'd already faced a bear, and God gave him strength and courage in this. I want us today to get a little David in us, maybe be one of the champions, maybe in our family, maybe your family, maybe this church, maybe at work. Whatever it might be, that we're willing to step up and ask the question, and just who do they think they are? And that we move forward. I'm not going to finish this because I think you need to read it. Guess who wins? Just guess who wins. Everybody needs to see this, that the little person makes the difference. I'm preaching to you this morning. I want us, not only as a church, but us as an individual, to make a difference. This church matters. This church makes a difference because we as individuals matter and make a difference. Everybody here has a part. Everybody here has an opportunity greater than ever before that we make a difference in somebody, somewhere, in something. Amen. Girls, y'all come up and want to sing a verse of song. Know what you're singing yet? Okay. Okay.
We're just going to end with the national anthem.
That'll be good. That'll be great. Everybody stand. We're going to close the service this song. You go out of here today and you think about David making a difference with the whole army because one person was willing to stand. Everybody made a difference. I mean, it made a difference to everybody. That's the way we can do, and we're going to close this service out with this. Go right ahead.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight? Broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched.
Lord. One other thing before we dismiss. Got the fire burning down at Tatum Gruff. It's across the road. It's getting close to Wanda and Luther's property. It's getting close to LaForest's property. I'm going to tell them and make this offer. If this gets up close to their houses, I'm going to be calling a bunch of you men and women. We're going to go down there and clean the leaves up around our houses. If that's what we need to do. I know we got fire department. We already got men down there working. But our specific goal would be if it gets up to Luther's hay barn, we got to put it out. Amen. If it gets up to LaForest's house, we got to put it out. And so if you get a call this afternoon, grab your rope, rake, shovel, whatever you got, and come on. Okay? And I'm going to put them, all I got to do is call me, and I'm going to call everybody. And so I know the fire department's doing all they can do. And I tell you what, I thought about we ought to go buy some water and drinks or something, maybe take down there after a while to the firefighters. But we'll work on that too. But, you see where we're at. It's close. It's up close. They're trying to put a fire trench around right now around the edge of the fields, and maybe that'll stop it. But if the wind lets it cross that, if it gets up next to their house, to their hay barn, to their housing, I think we ought to go put it out. At least around those buildings. Okay? Everybody in agreement? You know, if it burns our house and us sitting up here watching TV, I wouldn't feel right, would y'all? And so I don't know where it'll get to, but we'll find out more about that when they get home. All right, any word, anything before we go?